Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Blog Talk Radio. This is your hostess, Evangelist Teresa Scott. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We just want to welcome you to Blog Talk Radio on tonight. And we want to bless the Lord our God for your being here on tonight. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We want to thank God for he has done marvelous things. He has done great things. And we ought to be thankful to God for what he has done. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So I just want to start the broadcast as usual with prayer. Sometimes I do start the broadcast with music, but right now I want to start the broadcast with prayer. And want to let you know that we do have a special guest on tonight, and his name is John Pena. And I'm going to get him in a few minutes, but I'm going to be talking about spiritual warfare on Glory to God. And I think this is such a needed topic. And so if you have your Bibles, go ahead and get your Bibles, get your pen and pencils, because we're going to be writing some scriptures down. And just went ahead and get started. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father God, in the name of Jesus, this is Teresa. Your child, hallelujah, and I thank you for praise you for your goodness and your mercy. Father, I lift your name, hallelujah, and I give you all glory and honor, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. Father, God, I ask you to forgive us for our sins and our shortcomings, God, in the name of Jesus. Is there anything in us, Lord God, hallelujah, as we don't want to this broadcast today, anything in us that is not, we ask that you will wash us and cleanse us, Father, in the name of Jesus, and we ask that you will forgive us, oh God, of all of our sins and trespasses and transgressions, Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that whoever logs into this broadcast, if they log in, live as they log in, but later on in the archive, if they log in the chat room, Father God, that in the name of Jesus, that they will be delivered from whatever it is that they're going through, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that they will be born again, Father, if they don't know Jesus as their Lord and their Savior, Father. And I just want to say thank you right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, because, Father, we just thank you and believe you in your word, Lord God. We thank you that your word says that it is not your will that any perish, but that all come to repentance. So, Father, I pray, Lord God, that we all come to repentance, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Come to repentance from dead works. Come to repentance, Lord God, from disobedience. Come to repentance, Lord God, from anything, Lord God, that cannot be you, Father, in the name of Jesus. And, Father, we thank you, and we give you praise, and we give you glory, and we give you honor. Hallelujah, in the mighty name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus, hallelujah, I thank you, Lord God, and I praise you, hallelujah, hallelujah, glory to God, hallelujah. Well, as I said, we're going to have a guest tonight. His name is John Pinion, and we're going to be talking about spiritual warfare. So, if you are interested in learning about spiritual warfare, if you're interested in talking about spiritual warfare because you've been through it and you experienced some things, if you're interested in talking about spiritual warfare because this is something that we need to know in the body of Christ, because we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness of this world. Wickedness in our places. Hallelujah. So we invite you to join us. We invite you to read the Bible. We invite you that if you have a problem to call our number. And our number is 3393-3394. And then hit the number, and I will see that you in the call queue. And I will get to you so that, you know, you can ask your question. You can get a comment. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, as I said before, we are going to have John Pinion on. And in just a few seconds, I want to play a song real quick, and then we're going to get John on, and we're going to just get into the Word of God. It's not about John. It's not about me. It's strictly about the Word of God and us getting an understanding of the Word of God, because we have a human body, but we are spiritual beings. We are spiritual beings, and we need to understand the Word of God in the Spirit, because the Word of God is Spirit. We look at our Bibles as just, you know, a book with some black lettering or red lettering and white paper, but it's the Word of God, and we have to treat the Word of God like it's the Word of God, and whatever God says in it is what God means in the Word of God, and it's not of any private interpretation. God's Word is what it is. We don't have to like it. We don't have to love it. We don't have to really care for it. But God's word is not going to change for us in any way, shape, or form. What's supposed to happen is that we're supposed to change because of the word. So we need to get our word, and we need to study to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that needeth not be ashamed, and we need to rightly divide the word of truth. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So if you agree with me, if you have a comment other than what I said, please feel free to log in. You can join us in the chat room. We'll be in the chat room. It's the chat room very quickly. You could there. Just call the number that I just gave you. If you want to speak to John, you can call and speak to John. You call and speak to me. And I'm going to go ahead and get this word of God started. So let's just start, hallelujah, with this one song. And I love this song because it says that he wants it all. And it's talking about God wants our whole hearts. He wants it all. He wants it. Sometimes we want to give him bits and pieces of ourselves, but he wants it all. He really wants it all. So, actually, if I don't find it, I'm not going to play it because I don't see it in my lineup right here. But we know that all praise goes to God and the enemy is defeated. But we are going to get this program going, and Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Let me see. I'm going to look in one more place to see if I can find it. He wants it all. He wants it all. He wants it all. Okay. I don't see it, so let's see if we can play another song right quick, and then we can definitely put to the word. Here it is.
There's a voice that cries out in the silence, searching for a heart that will love him, longing for a child that will give him their all, give it all. He wants it all. And there's a God that walks over the earth. He's searching for a heart that is desperate, and longing for a child that will give him their all, give it all. He wants it all. And he said, love me, love me with your whole heart. He wants it all today. Serve me with your life now. He wants it all today. Bow down, let go of your idols. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all. And there's a God that walks over the earth. He's searching for a heart that is desperate, longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all. He wants it all. And he says, love me with your whole heart. He wants it all. Searching for a heart that will love him,
our child that we'll give them their all. Yet, oh, he wants it all.
Well, well, well. Amen. He wants it all. He wants it all. God definitely is not playing with us. It's all or nothing, because God tells us he would rather have us hot or cold, because if we are lukewarm, he will spew us out of his mouth to God. Hallelujah. And I know I don't be spewing out of God's mouth all for these, glory to God. So without further ado, I'm going to ask John to join us. And John, I just met him on Facebook. I thank God for his boldness. He does have a heart of boldness. And I just want you to listen to what he has to say from the Lord. Hallelujah. And we will be interacting together. But if you have any questions, if you have any comments, if you have anything that you'd like to add to, you know, what we're saying on tonight, praise God, ask God, and then join us. Glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, because we don't want this to be of our own. This to give our glory. Hallelujah. So, without further ado, here we go. John, let's see. Can I get you on? All right, we're having a little technical difficulty right here, but give me a minute, and we're going to get John on this air. Oh, yes, we are. All right. All right, all right. Let's see. Oh, come on. I'm going to have to log out and try this again. Okay, John, I don't know if you can hear me, but John?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, praise the Lord. We've been having some technical difficulty here. It seems to be going in and out. Can you hear me?
Yeah, but you're fading in and out some.
I don't know exactly what's going on tonight, but the devil is a liar in the name of Jesus.
Hello?
Just kidding. Okay, now my question is a second. Thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. But hallelujah, I thank you for our enemy. In the name of Jesus, glory to God. Hallelujah. Okay, John. Okay. Thank you, Holy God. Hallelujah. I thank you and praise you. I thank you for the victory, Lord. In the name of Jesus, glory to God. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. I bless your name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. John? Hello?
I'm here.
Okay.
I'm here.
Right. Love Jesus. I see you. Glory to God. Thank you for joining us tonight. If you can hear us, give me a signal in that room to let me know if you can hear us. We see we have some technical difficulty, but we take authority of the prince of the power of the air in the name of Jesus and command him to loose the airways that we are on now in the name of Jesus. We command you, Satan, to flee in the name of Jesus as we draw nigh to God. The word of God tells us to draw nigh to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And that's what I'm believing tonight. Hallelujah. Love Jesus, I don't know if the chat room can hear us. Brother Don?
Yes, I'm here.
All right. While we're doing this, I want you to go ahead and introduce yourself. And give us a little bit of background about yourself. As I did state earlier, we are going to be talking about spiritual warfare. So, if you could just give, okay, she said we're cutting it now. If you could just give us a little background of, you know, who you are, what you believe, and why it is that you want to discuss spiritual warfare on tonight.
Okay, I'm having a little trouble hearing you. You keep breaking up, but I mean we're not gonna receive it. Really, I just feel that I have a call of God upon my life to share His word and to minister to others. I feel that He planted that vision in me when I was 20 years old. I feel that I heard the voice of God speaking to me and specifically calling me into ministry and service. I don't regard myself really as anyone important as far as, you know, people looking at me. I want people to see Jesus and I want people to see God rather than me. I feel He's anointed me to share the word. I feel He's anointed me to pray for people. I feel that He's given me the gift of intercession. I just like to do warfare over people and break the hold of the enemy and just set people free so they can walk in victory in Christ and be who God, you know, means for them to be. And that's what I'm all about. If there's any specific questions that you want to ask, I'll answer them.
No, I just want you to talk about what we were talking about basically when, you know, before we got on the air, talking about, you know, some of the warfare. You don't have to get so personal, but some of the warfare that you went through, some of the things that you had to deal with, you know, in relationship to this warfare that you went through. I think some of the things that you said to me were really good. And if you could just repeat some of those things that you said to me, that would be great.
Okay, thanks. I think just to say first of all, I think it's important for us who are men, who are the head of our households. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23, it says, "For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he's the Savior." Now I want to just elaborate on a little bit of the warfare that I went through and then come back to this. Last Friday, my wife woke up in severe pain, with a physical problem that we had to take care of. We prayed that the pain would go away, but we also pursued medical attention as well. Now, you know, we spent all afternoon, way up into the night in the hospital, and you know, it was an amazing thing that that God always has our backs covered if we're called of Him. While she was in the examining room, I took a break and went out into the waiting area, and a brother was sitting there with a Bible, reading the Bible and just sharing with people. So I walked over and started sharing with them and just sharing with them what was going on with me and my wife. And he really gave me some encouragement and prayer and everything. It's so important, you know, for us to realize as men that we are the first line of defense. you know, when the enemy attacks the home. You know, I wanted to stress that more than anything, but, you know, the attacks did not stop there. You know, that the enemy just kept attacking as the, you know, as days went by. You know, we had an instance where the, you know, our car battery died. This past Saturday, our car battery died. You know, I've been attacked with some physical things myself. Just out of the blue, I started having back pain, you know, from nowhere. From out of the blue, I started having a tooth that just started hurting out of nowhere. You know, when we prayed about that, I went to the dentist. He did x-rays, said nothing was wrong. He couldn't see anything wrong as far as the x-rays. And right now, as I'm speaking to you, the last couple of days, I've been attacked with a sore throat. You know, I've been attacked with chest congestion and head congestion all at the same time. So it's like all these attacks are coming. And what started it was, you know, on Facebook when God started really putting it on my heart to really share His word on Facebook and start really opening up and sharing prophetic words that He gave me. It seems from the very moment that I started that, these attacks just really started from nowhere. So, but you know, if there's any men out there, I want to encourage you that, you know, you need to be the spiritual head. You need to be the one to pray over your wife, and you need to be the one to anoint every room in your house with oil. You need to be the one to cover your children in prayer. Because if the enemy can get past a weak husband and father, then he has control of the home, and he can attack every other family member. And I promise you that the next one he'll go to will be the wife, and then after that will be the children, in every way that he can. So I just want to encourage you. You know, the warfare is real, and I'm telling you, when you start feeling the warfare, you've got to assume that you're doing something right, that you are doing what God has called you to do. And don't be afraid when the warfare comes. Don't shrink back in fear. Take the war to Him. Take the word to Him. You know, the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, finally be strong in the Lord and His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Many times we read verse 12 and we don't see the a truth that we need to see. There are different ranks. You know, start with verse 12. He talks about rulers, the authorities, powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heaven realms. You got all these ranks here that are against you. So we've got a warfare on our hands, but we've got the tools to fight it. And I want to encourage every man out there to have confidence if you are seeking God, and if you're reading His word every day, if you're praying to Him every day, if you are fighting for your family, if you're fighting for your marriage, if you're fighting for your children, know that you're going to be attacked. And when you start facing the attacks, tell yourself that I'm doing what I need to do. Tell yourself that I'm doing something right. And don't give in. And take the war to Him when He brings it to you.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I just wanted to touch on a couple of things that you said, and you were talking about the spiritual work and how there are ranks. A lot of people overlook that and just read it and just say it, but it's a real, real, real warfare going on. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but like you said, principalities and powers and the darkness of this world. And this is why, if you continue to read that verse, the Bible tells us to take on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the enemy, that we be able to stand, and having done all to stand, having your Lord heard about what truth, stand having on a helmet of righteousness, coming to salvation in the first place, righteousness, and with the shot of the preparation of the gospel of peace. But what happens is a lot of times is we try to fight the enemy, and we try to fight all of the spiritual wickedness in our places, and so we try to fight it out of our own natural minds. And sometimes it comes in the form of people, and we're looking at people, and we want to fight them, or and it may come in the form of our finances going out of way. We want to, you know, instead of saying what the Word of God says, we want to curse, you know, our own selves by what we say, instead of going into spiritual warfare. And a lot of people don't know that they should go into spiritual warfare. They'll say that scripture, but that's it. But no, we have to actually fight in the spirit. We have to fight because we have a real enemy. And the Bible tells us in John 10:10, the thief cometh not but to kill, to steal, and destroy. Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have life more abundantly. And then in another scripture it says that Satan walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. That's what he does. He walks around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And like you said, if the man is not going to be the spiritual head of the house, he's going to walk around and he's going to devour the whole family. Because the man is not being the spiritual head of the house. He's not praying. He's not fasting. He's not studying the Word of God. You know, he's not leading his family, you know, in family prayer or in Bible study or anything like that. So if the wife is acting crazy, he should have no complaints because he allowed that in his home by not covering his wife, being the head of the wife. And unfortunately, if you look in the churches today, and if you look in the homes today, you will see that women have taken a leadership role because the man will not stand up. The man
will. That's right.
Go back to the Garden of Eden. Adam should have just said, look, woman, God told us not to eat of that tree. No matter what the serpent said, no matter what he said to Eve to beguile her, to trick her, the lust of the eyes came to her. She was lusting after it with her eyes. Okay, and she decided to listen to the serpent. He said, you will not surely die. He said, has he said you will surely die? So he's going to put it to her like, yeah, right, he didn't really mean you will surely die. She sits there and she eats it. And Adam, who God gave the spiritual authority to, you know, was Adam, and why didn't say anything to her and just let it happen? So you see the sex perpetrating all over again. Over and over and over, throughout generations, the woman has taken the lead in a lot of things because the man don't do it.
That's right. You wouldn't believe the last week, I know in particular, I had one day where, you know, my emails were just overflowing. I mean, from ladies who were writing me saying, you know, my husband will not assume the role of spiritual leader in our home, you know. And so they feel frustrated. And as a result of that, you know, and every one of them without exception who had children, all of them said, you know, the children are not behaving like they should. You know, they're not, you know, under control. You see, it goes from the head down. If the husband is not what he's supposed to be, that's going to affect the wife. And ultimately, you know, it's going to affect the children. And I think a lot of men just don't think about that. They don't realize how important it is. You know, it just doesn't cross their minds. You know, in day-to-day life, they seem to forget their responsibility, you know, and it's to God. Their responsibility is to God. You know, once you assume the role of husband and father, you have a responsibility to God to be the head of that house and to lead it in spiritual things. You know, you need to be the one to lead the Bible study. You need to be the one to pray over your wife and children. And when it doesn't happen, don't think that the wife and children don't feel it, because they do. Especially, you know, if the wife is a godly woman, she is going to feel it, you know, and she's going to feel that neglect. And see, that's going to affect the whole marriage. That's going to affect the whole marriage. It's going to affect the whole home. And just because you know, we as men fail to do what God tells us to do. If we follow the principles and God's word, our lives will be better. You want harmony in your home? Then be the man of God. I mean,
be the man of God.
That's the bottom line.
Yeah.
That's right.
And it's not hard, but and unfortunately, I've been in a part of different denominations, and I've seen in some denominations where people teach this scripture so incorrectly. Man is the head of the wife. You're going to do what I say. If I say sit down, you're going to sit down. If I say shut up, you're going to shut up. And it's not about that. It's not even.
No.
It's not about that. And
no.
People. So as a result of that, and I've seen it with my own two eyes. As a result of that, you have women who are rebelling against their husbands, and you know, look, I don't really want to hear anything you have to say. I'm not going to do what you say do, simply because of the way the posture that you have taken, and the posture that you have taken is truly not of God. I don't need anybody in my life that's going to tell me when I can eat, when I can sit, when I can stand, when I can go outside, when I can talk on the phone, when I can do this. That's control, and God is not, that's not what God is about. He wants us to walk together in love, and he wants us to walk together in unity, even though the man
okay.
is the head of the wife.
Yeah. It says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Okay, that's the key right there. Love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave. That's not a dictator.
No.
You know, loving somebody in the biblical sense of the word is not being a dictator. You know, when you love somebody, you want to please that person. You want to give yourself. I mean, that's what Jesus did. What did he do? He emptied himself and gave himself on the cross for the church. And that's what we as husbands and fathers are supposed to do. We're supposed to give ourselves for our wives and serve them in love. What did Jesus do? He washed the disciples' feet. He served them. He was all about serving. He said, you know, I came to serve and give my life as a ransom for many. So, you know, the role of the husband and the father is not the role of a dictator. It's the role of someone who loves unconditionally. Remember now, the love of Jesus is unconditional. You know, Jesus doesn't place conditions on us and say, well, I'll love you if you do this or if you're this way. No, he loves unconditionally, and that's the way the husband is supposed to love the wife and the child and the children unconditionally. Now, if we can do that, like the Bible tells us to, we will always have their respect, and there'll be no disharmony in the home.
Well, we need to get back to that teaching, but we need to do spiritual warfare. We need to do spiritual warfare on behalf of the men who will not stand up at the end
mm-hmm.
of the house. We need to actually put that as part of our prayer. When we have prayer as God, we really lift up the men of God. Because you have men with titles. You have men, you know, who are apostles or bishops or pastors or elders or teachers, you know. And they don't even know how to love their wives. They don't even know how to lead their wives, but they're out here running the church. And the Bible says if you can't rule your own house well, how can you rule the house of God? So we really honestly need to be praying for the men that we see who are standing up, being the spiritual head of the house. And as a woman, I'm going to tell you, it's not easy as a woman to just not say anything if you see your husband not stepping up in the role. It's not easy for us women, because if we see something lacking, we think we're going to take up this, we're going to step in and we're going to make it right, just like Eve did. Instead of waiting, on God and allowing, you know, her husband to walk in his rightful place, she just listened to the serpent and took over. And you see what it's caused trouble ever since.
Mm-hmm.
You know, ever since the Garden of Eden, there's been trouble. And there's been this battle between the male and the woman. And as a woman who's very vocal, I let you know what my opinion is. I let you know when I'm upset with you. I let you know I'm okay with you. But there's been times where I've been told by my pastors or, you know, whoever, that you need to allow your husband to be the head of the house, and you need to not badger him, not go to him and say, you need to do this and you need to do that, and you need to stop this and you need to stop that. I'm like, I don't know if I can do that. But doing
well,
that.
Well, see, the thing about it, marriage has to have honesty and honest communication. So, you know, I think if you have concerns about that, you need to voice them. I mean, can I just be transparent?
Mm-hmm.
There was a time in my life where I wasn't doing that like I should, you know, and I wasn't even fellowshipping with God in the sense of going to church like I should, you know, because I'd gone through something in my life and I was angry and I was bitter. So, I mean, I just withdrew from the body of Christ, you know, and that, you know, once you do that, I mean, you automatically are not the head of the house because you're not getting fed. So you can't function that role. But anyway, I remember one Sunday morning, my wife got up and she, you know, got ready to go to church. And, you know, this had gone on for weeks, so, you know, me being out of church. And she asked me, was I going to go? And I said, no. And she spoke up and she said, okay, you know, you just stay here and I'll just let God deal with you. You know, and deal with me, he did. I mean, conviction came into my life, and I didn't have any peace, you know, until I got things right with God. So, you know, I don't think that a woman needs to be silent. If the man needs to assume that role, then she needs to say something. I'm not saying she is to use violence in any way or talk to him disrespectful. But speak to him in a loving way and say, hey, you know, myself and the children need to be fed spiritually, and God has given you that role to do that.
But see, I didn't handle it that way. I didn't handle it that way. I'll be transparent. That's not the way I handled it. It's like, look, I'm sick of you. Okay. You're supposed to be this, that, and the other. I need you to stand up and be the man. This is what I want you to do. And if you're not going to do it, then I'm not going to respect you. Because this is who I was, you know, earlier in my life. That's not, you know, that's why I had to have people speak to me. I'm like, you know, you need to calm down. And I speak to him in that way. And there's a book by Stormy O'Mardian called The Power of a Praying Wife. And in that book, it teaches you spiritual warfare. It teaches you how to pray for your husband, the things that you see in your husband that you changed in him because you know, number one, maybe it's not of God. Number two, it's just not working in your marriage. And number three, it may not be beneficial for him at all. So in that book, she teaches you how to pray for your husband without you being in your husband's face. And, you know, being disrespectful to your husband and still treating him as the head of the wife. And I've been married for 12 years, and this is something that I'm finally coming to terms with. I'm finally grasping and understanding that no matter what I think, when I married him, he became the head. My husband is a godly man. My husband pastored in the AME church for almost 20 years. Then he pastored, you know, we had a church until he fell down the steps and broke his hip. So my husband is a godly man. I know that without a doubt. But he wasn't doing things according to the way Teresa thought he should be doing them. So, you know, Teresa acted like a plum monkey, which I'm not proud of. But I'm saying that to say that a lot of people, a lot of women assume the role as the head, as I said before, because their spouses are not stepping up to the plate. And like you
That's
said,
right.
Why is there so much hell going on in your home? Why are your kids acting like you know, they act. Why are they disobedient? Why are they disrespectful? Why are they stealing? Why are they disobeying the rule? Why are they acting up in school? Well, let's go back to what you said. The husband is not being the head of the home.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, you talk about, you know, you mentioned earlier about the wife telling the husband, and I said that was important. In my particular case, I mean, she really didn't have to say a whole lot to me because the Holy Spirit and, you know, was done speaking to me about it. God was done dealing with me about it, you know. So it's not like she really had to say anything. I mean, even though she did, God was already dealing with me about it before she ever said a word.
Uh-huh.
You know, and now it's like, you know, I talk to a lot of people and you know, I have situations where I, you know, pray with different people and, you know, I feel that in my ministry I have a lot of people coming to me to talk and to have prayer. And it's like, you know, I know that my first person I'm supposed to minister to is my wife.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, it's very easy, even in the, you know, when you're in the ministry and you are reaching out to people and you have that passion, you need to do it. You can get that out of balance when you neglect your wife. I remember one day God specifically said this to me, and because I had been praying with several people during that day, and you know, the night came, and I was tired, and you know, my wife and I, we always have our Bible study and prayer, you know, and you know, I had like a split second temptation just to forget it and go to bed and go to sleep. And you know, as I was walking to the bedroom, you know, my wife was sitting in the den waiting for the Bible study. And God spoke to me and He said, "You're going to do something for a total stranger you won't do for your wife."
Mm.
You know, and that cut me to the heart. So now, I mean, I know that my first ministry is to her. I mean, I can't be the example I need to be to other people if I'm not ministering to my family first.
That's right. That's the truth. And Love Jesus, you're in the chat room. If you have anything to say, please let us know. If you have a question or a comment or anything, we will definitely get to you on this broadcast about this subject. At the 9 o'clock hour, we're gonna really go into to more spiritual warfare, because John, when you and I were talking before the broadcast was on, you were saying something that really, really, I think should be spoken about. And without going into too much right now, I wanted you to talk about the suicide that you were telling me about. Okay.
Okay.
And I want to definitely talk about spiritual warfare. I want to talk about some things, you know, personal in my life, and I'm like you, transparent. I don't try to hide things from people, but I try to let you know what's going on, because these are real things that are happening. And there's a lot of people that are sitting in the church, sitting in the physical church building. They have pastors, they have bishops and apostles and elders and teachers. They have the whole Bible ministry with them. Okay, they have the evangelists and everybody. But they're sitting there hurting. They're sitting there week after week, you know, they go to church. They might feel emotional while they're at church, but then they go home. And it's the same drama that they had before they left church. Maybe they're drinking. Maybe they're popping pills. Maybe they're secretly addicted to something, but can't get set free because there's no spiritual warfare going on. And week after week, they keep going to church, and these people who are supposed to be filled with the Holy Ghost, these are the people that are supposed to have the power of God residing inside of them, keep allowing this person week after week, or these people week after week, to go home in the same condition or worse than when they left. So we definitely want to talk about spiritual warfare, because the enemy is real. We do not give any glory to the devil. We do not give any glory to any demonic spirit. But what we have to say is that demons are real. Demonic spirits are real. There is no way around it. they messed with Jesus. Satan messed with Jesus. Jesus told us their spirits and they're going to be here until Jesus come. Okay, until they get cast into everlasting damnation and everlasting torment. We're going to have to deal with spirits, but if we're not teaching about spiritual warfare, if we're just allowing people to continue to be the same way that they are and not coming to these unclean spirits, they're going to still be the same. Jesus said, "Behold, I give unto you power. I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions." If Jesus said, "I give you power to do that," why aren't we doing it? Why are we as a body of Christ not being unified in coming against the power of the enemy? When Jesus said, "Behold, I give unto you power. I give you that power. I give you authority. I give you that to tread on serpents and scorpions. I give you that power. I give you power to heal. I give you power to cast out demons. I give you that power to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover." What is going on that this is not happening is what I want to know. So let's go to a song, and when we come from the song, we're going to discuss this. So put your seatbelts on, because we're going to talk about this when we come back from the song. Amen.
Okay.
The Bible declares that he has raised us up together and has made us sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Say, oh! Living on the
top.
See, I'm living the best life, and I'm living a blessed life. I am blessed
in the heavenly with him.
And not only that, y'all, but I'm telling you that I'm walking.
Walking.
I'm walking in the realm
walking
of faith.
In the realm of faith.
And I'm a living miracle.
A miracle.
And I'm receiving the abundance.
well, well. Hallelujah. Satan is defeated. Hallelujah. But God is exalted. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. That song is not what's under the title of the song that I chose, but I thank God that that song was on there, that God is exalted and the devil is defeated. Praise God. Hallelujah. And we got to remember that. Hallelujah. That Satan is truly a defeated. And I know at one point, John, I had ordered some tracks because I wanted to pass them out in the street. And one of the tracks said Satan versus God. And my husband and I looked at the track like Satan versus God. First of all, there is no Satan versus God. Satan is a created being just like we are. So there is no Satan versus God. God is the final authority. He has all power in his hand. So there's no contest. There's no boxing match. There's none of that. God is. All right. So Satan is defeated. Excuse me. Sorry. Satan is defeated and God is exalted. Hallelujah. But we as Christians need to know that. The devil is defeated. Excuse me. Now, you know what? I wasn't Caesar or anything before I played that song. And I haven't done anything differently. So I'm going to exalt the name of God right now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Because
praise
Satan
you,
is
hallelujah.
Defeated. Hallelujah. And I thank God.
Praise you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. You're worthy.
Oh, yes, Lord. I thank you. I praise you. I thank you. I give you glory, God. I thank you for this word coming forth tonight.
God,
I thank you for using John tonight as well as myself, Lord God. And we just bind right now retaliation, the spirit of retaliation from every demonic force, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. And I thank you right now, Father, in the name of Jesus, glory to God. So, before I get started, John, I just want to read a couple of things because I like people to write scriptures down when they listen to the broadcast. And I want to give them a couple of scriptures. And the first one is in 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 to 5. That's 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 to 5. And then the one that you read already is in Ephesians chapter 6. And we're going to start at verse 10. It's going to be Ephesians 6, verse 10 to 12. And also, we want to talk about Matthew 28:18-20. And one of the things that we really, 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 really want to look at is 2 Corinthians 10, 3 and 5. It says, though we live in this world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish argument, every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. Excuse me, I pulled this up on the internet, and I'm not sure what translation this is from. I'm looking to see what translation this is from. I like to read it from the King James Version. It says, though we live in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Okay? A lot of warfare goes on in our minds, John, and I know you can agree with that. And I know you agree with that simply because of the conversation we had concerning your brother. If you'd like to share that, you can do that right now because this falls right in line with spiritual warfare and demonic oppression.
Okay. 8 years ago, my brother took his life. He committed suicide. He overdosed on drugs. And at that point in time in my life, I was not as knowledgeable about spiritual warfare as I am now. After that occurred, I knew I had to educate myself, so I started really getting into the Word. Self-destruction is a spirit from the enemy. That is an attack of the enemy that starts in the mind, and it overtakes the mental processes, the thought patterns. You know, and once the enemy has control of your mind, you know, it naturally follows that he's going to have control of your actions, your words, everything. You know, your total being is going to be under his control. That's why we have to have the helmet of salvation, like the Bible says, which he didn't. And so that's what occurred. You know, we have to, you know, we have to protect our minds. You know, we have to protect our thought life. The Bible says that Satan comes to kill and to steal and to destroy. You know, he killed my brother's life. He stole his life away, and he destroyed his life. He did all three of those things by the attack. So that's his goal, to steal, kill, and destroy. Now, when you experience a suicide of a family member or someone close to you, it changes your whole perspective. As far as the spiritual realm, I think a big fault today is the church. You know, the modern church. It has gotten lazy. It doesn't educate people on spiritual warfare. Some churches don't even believe it happens. When people come into the church and show symptoms of attacks or warfare that they've been in, they are rejected. They're called crazy. They're sent to a psychologist. You know, and I'm not saying psychology is bad, but there is a spiritual need inside of that person. There's a spiritual warfare going on, and many times the church doesn't recognize it. Now, what's going to happen? If that person is not delivered, if that person is not held, do you think that the enemy's going to stop? He's going to keep bringing more spirits. He's going to keep bringing more demons. And he's just going to keep attacking them with more and more and more. And at the end of that, what is the result of that? Self-destruction. That's all. That's Satan's number one goal, is to destroy life. And he will do it any way he can. That's his job, to destroy life.
Yeah, so he don't care if you go to church, and he don't care if you go to church, he don't care if you go to Bible study, he don't care, you know, if you do all of that stuff. You can go to church and do all of that stuff and still not have the mind of Christ and still sit there, you know, and be in bondage. And Satan knows, and he will kill, steal, and destroy if you don't know how to do spiritual warfare.
That's right. It would surprise people to know that Satan goes to church every Sunday.
Every Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
I think he unlocks the door.
Every time
the door's
open, Satan's there.
Yep. Nobody should be surprised at that, though. Come on.
Well, there's a big difference in somebody having a religion and tradition and somebody having Jesus.
And I believe that, too.
I can promise you that if you go to any church that is controlled by religion, the pastor may get up behind the pulpit and speak, but he's speaking the words of Satan and not the words of God if he's controlled by religion.
No.
And if he is, you know, and if a pastor or any church members, if they are rejecting, hurting people, and people that need Jesus that come to them, let me give you just one example. In the church that I go to, you know, it's a fairly large church, and it's, you know, we don't discriminate against anybody. We invite everybody. We welcome everybody. a few weeks ago, I had walked into church and I was in the foyer, and I saw two girls walk past me. They were holding hands. Now, the religious part of me that used to be religious wanted to rise up and condemn them and reject them. But the Spirit of God rose up and said, hey, you know, they're here. So I said, God, I am so glad they're here. You know, how are they going to change? How are they going to have any type of new life if the church rejects them and condemns them? You know, we're called to reach out and love and care about people and pray for people and heal them with God's love. Hate and prejudice and condemnation doesn't heal. It just drives them further away from God. And, you know, I think much of the modern church is taking the wrong stance because they want to get up in the pulpit and scream and yell at people, you know, with a Bible waving at them and tell them they're going to hell and that they're wrong, but never sharing the love of Jesus and showing them the way to change.
And I think you have a problem with a lot of people on that because I myself was a person who just had zero tolerance to things like that. If you're gay, then you need to find why you're gay. You need to go because being gay is of God. No, you know, not showing any love, not showing any compassion. But that's the way I was taught. And I thank God for the Holy Spirit who is teaching me a whole different way. Because when I came to Jesus, he didn't come. He not, when I came to him, he came to me condemning me and telling me, you know, you ain't nothing but the name. And you know, you did this and you did that, and you ran with many men, and you know, did this and you did that. He didn't come to me that way. He opened up to me to him and me to accept him through faith, and that's what happened. And when I accepted him, I didn't come. But when the other people, you know, got over it and to the churches, they began to teach me, you know, right from wrong. To, you know, you can't feed anybody with fake. You can give fake and on a sense of the word, but just the word. So what we do is when people meant whatever their problem is, we want to throw steak at them and tell them to eat and chocolate. And as little babies, babies can't eat steak. They can't do it up. They can't digest it. You know, you give a steak to a baby, it might kill them.
Right.
This is what we do in the religious world. This is what we do is we throw steaks at people instead of giving them the milk of the word. And then as you begin to get them in and begin to mature, then you can, you know, talk to them about, you know, the homosexuality and spirit behind it and why it's not of God and allow the word of God to come. But shoot, while they're coming to church, pray for them. Pray for them. Pray
That's
for
right.
them. Get that spiritual warfare going on. Rebuke the devil, that homosexual spirit that's not of God, and continue to rebuke that and pray that, whether you pray over them in front of them or you pray behind closed doors. So.
Yeah, that's right. There's a verse in, there's some verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 that really address that. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Beginning with verse 9, Paul says, do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Okay, but then he says in verse 11, I just read verses 9 and 10, in verse 11, he says, and that is what some of you were.
Were.
Mm-hmm. And then he says, but you were washed.
Yeah.
You were sanctified.
Sanctified.
You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God.
Yeah.
So apparently, this church as many problems as it had. You know, it did. It seemed to embrace these kind of people and at least show them the love of God. Now, some people, you know, some churches, I don't know, some pastors, do they read these verses about love? You know, do they read these verses about how Jesus went to the broken? You know, Jesus spent the most, the majority of his time with who?
Sinners.
Sinners, that's right. The kindest, gentlest words that he had when he was on the face of this earth, walking in bodily form, the kindest words he said were to sinners. Who were the ones that received his harshest words?
Church, the believers,
religious,
the religious leaders.
So, you know, they were always looking down their noses at everybody. You know, nobody was good enough to reach them. You see. They stood on the street corner and looked pretty and recited their scriptures and their prayers, and they fasted and made sure everybody knew that they were fasting. When they gave their tithes, they made noises so everybody would see it and recognize them. And Jesus told them, he said, you look pretty on the outside. He said, but on the inside, you're full of corruption. He said, you're dead on the inside. You know, and I think that's the same story in a lot of the modern church today. They want to look good externally. But when somebody broken comes to them, somebody in warfare, they don't even know how to deal with it. But, yeah, they have no idea.
Because they're too busy playing church, too busy, like you said, putting on a show. And this kind of, the Bible tells us that bodily exercise profiteth little. So you got a lot of people running up and down the aisles and, you know, bouncing off of walls and stuff like that. And I'm not saying that they are wrong for doing that, but what I am saying is that there's a lot going on that is not scriptural. There's a lot of stuff that is going on that people are doing, like you said, because they want to be seen. There's a lot of stuff that's going on is just because, oh, well, you know, people grew up seeing people do that kind of thing. But God wants us to, we have to begin to know God in the spirit and not just by the letter of the word. We need to begin to know God in the spirit and know who he really is and begin to know who our enemy is. You will have a problem with people who would say, what do you mean we're supposed to know the devil? We're not supposed to know the devil. Oh, yes, you are. You're supposed to know the enemy. You're supposed to know his tricks. You're supposed to know so that he can't come up on you unawares. Oh, yes, you are supposed to know who you're fighting and have a strategy. You're supposed to know what man goes into the war and not prepared.
That's right.
A foolish person right there that will even attempt to go into war and not even be prepared. But a lot of times what we do is we just get finished playing patty cake with the devil, and then we want to go to the devil and say, oh, Satan, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. How does you rebuke him and you're praying with him?
That's right.
You know, people don't want to hear this. That's why a lot of people won't, you know, they won't talk to me about certain things because I say of them, like you're playing, you in a crib with the devil, but yet you're trying to rebuke him. You standing in there with him, playing with him, but yet you want to, excuse me, but yet you want to rebuke him. He's sitting there laughing at you, like, are you kidding me? Hey, we just got in a pan, hopscotch with each other, and now you want to try to rebuke me. No, you better get somewhere and pray and fast and seek God. Let the Holy Spirit lead you, because the Holy Spirit will pray for us with groanings that can't be uttered, because we don't always know what to pray for as we pray. You know, sometimes we just praying just because it sounds like something good to say. But when the Holy Ghost prays for us, we know the Holy Ghost is praying the express will of God. The Holy Ghost is going to pray exactly what God wants, and God knows what's going on at all times. He's everywhere. He knows everything. He sees everything. So, I'm sorry, but I said that.
You're exactly right. We need to be equipped. Yeah, and the only way that we're going to be equipped, you know, we're responsible to equip ourselves. Like I said earlier, you know, the church is really, as a whole, I don't think they're equipping people to do spiritual warfare. I know the church I grew up in wasn't. I can't remember ever hearing a message really centered in spiritual warfare and how to fight it. It's like they want to take a pair of scissors and cut those verses out of the Bible, you know, just like they want to take the verses that talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. They want to take a pair of scissors and cut that out and say, that's not for today. Listen, Satan fights supernatural warfare himself. We have to have supernatural weapons to combat him in that warfare. You know, the Bible is very clear that we do not fight against flesh and blood. You cannot fight the enemy in the flesh, in the natural, using natural methods. You can't do it.
No.
So, you know, I think it goes back to Acts chapter 2. You know, what did Jesus tell the disciples to do? He told them to wait in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why did they need that power? They were going out into a world that was infested with satanic activity, controlling the lives of men, and those, you know, the people needed deliverance. They needed that power to be able to do it. I would tell everybody, you know, you need to be filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit to equip you for spiritual warfare. And if you are a husband and a father and you don't have that, you need to seek it. I mean, you need to seek it. And you need to receive it. It's for everybody to receive. You know, all you have to do is have a desire for it and ask God for it. You cannot fight the forces of the enemy in the flesh. You have to have spiritual weapons. You have to have the armor. You have to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
That you have to have it.
You have to have it. It's a requirement.
Mm-hmm.
It's a requirement. And, I mean, people... That's why a lot of people are getting beat up. That's why a lot of people are committing suicide. And I can say that around the Christmas holiday, you know, was not a good time for me. My husband was sick in the hospital with pneumonia. There were things going on. There's a lot of stuff going on at the same time. Finances had dried up. It was just, when I tell you it was past ridiculous, it was past ridiculous. And it was a warfare going on, but I wasn't fighting it that way. I wasn't fighting it as a spiritual warfare. I was fighting it as, you know, what was me? This is happening, and this is happening, and why me? Lord, why this? And I did this a few years ago, and I did this, you know, all of this crazy stuff instead of standing up to the enemy and telling the enemy to flee in the name of Jesus. And when I look back over it, I'm like, I could have saved myself such heartache and turmoil had I done that. But I'm looking back in hindsight as 100%. And now I know, you know, when I feel these things coming up, quickly, Satan, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I take authority over every unclean spirit in the name of Jesus. I take authority over every spirit that is coming to try to take over my mind, try to take over my grandchildren's mind, my husband's mind, anybody in my connection that's trying to take over their mind. In the name of Jesus, I take authority over you. Why? Because God has given me authority over you in the name of Jesus. Jesus said, behold, I give unto you power. So because Jesus said he gave unto me power, I take that authority in the name of Jesus, and I use it against you, Satan. Like, Satan, Satan came to Jesus three times in the garden. So if he came to Jesus three times in the garden and then left him for a season, which a lot of people seem to love over, but Satan left Jesus for a season, but came back. Okay, and that's the same thing with us. Satan leaves for a season. You know, the enemy leaves for a season, but then he comes back. He comes back. But what are we going to do? Are we going to hate him or let him kill us or steal from us or destroy us?
The more he comes, then you just have to keep coming to him. You have to take the battle to him.
I'm like, Lord,
you know,
if... Go ahead, John. John?
You just have... Yes, I'm here.
Go ahead. Listen.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. You just have to take the battle to him. I mean, you have to be proactive. A lot of people want to sit back and wait till he attacks and then try to react to that. You know, we need to be proactive and take the battle to him. That's why it's so important to have the equipment to fight him with and to be proactive with it. And, I mean, it starts every day, at the start of every day, spending time at the beginning of the day in prayer and Bible study and crying out to God and covering yourself with the blood of Jesus and rebuking all the attacks of the enemy before you start your day.
Yes. Yes.
Because the enemy's not going to sleep.
What?
You know, he is not going to sleep. And I'm going to tell you, once you start taking those steps and you start being radical and people start noticing it, don't look to gain more friends.
Mm-mm, not
especially,
at all.
Especially religious ones. They're going to leave you. I mean, they're going to leave you
quickly.
You're not going to have them in your life anymore.
That's right.
Some of them are going to be family members. Some of them are going to be close friends.
Yes.
They're going to call you crazy. They're going to call you stupid. They're going to call you every name in the book.
Mm-hmm.
Because you represent what they aren't. And they don't, and it's that religious spirit that just is going to rise up. Don't be surprised at where you find it. You'll find it in the most unusual places, surprising places. I can tell you from experience.
I won't be surprised because I've experienced it myself. And, you know, at one point I would say to the Lord, Lord, why don't I have any friends? Like, what is the problem? I have no friends. It's just basically me and my husband. And, you know, people don't understand, and not just understand, but I know you got to show yourself friendly, but it just seems like God keeps us in this little huddle, you know, ourselves, because people are just devious. We've experienced so many things in religion, and I'm not going to say in the church, I'm going to say in religion, in a church building. We've experienced so many things that were not of God. But at the time, we didn't know about spiritual warfare. We didn't know, you know, to cover ourselves under the blood of Jesus. We didn't know that kind of thing. We were, you know, basically in church doing what we were told to do. But those that are closest to you, they will come against you, especially when you start teaching the Word of God and you teach it with authority and you teach it, and no matter what they say to come against the Word of God and you still standing, oh, wow. Yeah, they cut you off in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
I've had family members delete me off of Facebook because they say, you're just too radical. You're just too judgmental. I'm not too radical and I'm not too judgmental because I'm the Word and what the Word of God says. And I don't know you like that to know what's going on in your life daily. But if the Word of God is cutting you, then the Word of God is cutting you. Let the Word of God do an operation on you, a spiritual operation. No, but you get mad because you don't want to stop doing what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Radical means, you know, it means change. You know, it means a complete change. And I know for me, you know, it went from serving sin to serving God, but it also, more than that, it meant for me to stop being religious
mm-hmm.
And start being Christ-like. Those two are diametrically opposed, and they always will be.
I think that there needs to be a teaching about that, too, because religions, being religious versus being in Christ, being in Jesus, is, I mean, religious is, like, many people are bound up in religion. You have to come to church on this day and this day and this day, and if you don't, you know, you're going to hell. You know, you have to, women have to wear this and can't wear that, and you can't go here, you can't do that. But what does the Spirit of God say? Because I could wear my dress all the way down to the ground, and you never see my toes, you never see my feet, okay? But if my heart is not right towards God, that means nothing. It's the outward appearance, the outward appearance. God don't care nothing about the outward appearance. He looks at the heart. So you could go to church every Sunday, every Wednesday, every Friday, and still go to hell.
That's right.
Yeah. Now, put that on your page, John.
I had a real close friend enlighten me several months ago. You know, I kind of at one point I had the mindset, you know, and I grew out of it, but you know, I had the mindset that you know, prophetic words were just for other Christians to be encouraged, you know. And you know, that was at the point I was at in my growth, you know. But God took me to the next level on that through a friend of mine, and because they shared with me, and they said, you know, who would God want to give a prophetic word more than to an unbeliever? You know, maybe God wants to give them a word sometime just to change their life. So, I mean, from the day they told me that, I said, God, if you want me to share anything with a non-believer, I'll do it. So I had a instance not long ago where I was going somewhere for a meeting, and you know, I got there and I sat down at the table, and there was another person sitting down at the other end of the table, and God said, you know, I've got a word for this person. You know, I didn't know the person, and you know, God put a word in my spirit, and he said, I want them to receive this word. So, you know, I wrote it down on a piece of paper, and, I've learned that, you know, if God is leading you to do something, you better do it.
You better.
No matter how crazy it seems, no matter how it's going to make you look, you know, that's part of getting over yourself. It doesn't matter about you. So, you know, I wrote that word down, and I took it down to them, and I said, look, you know, I feel God put this on my heart, and he wants you to get, you know, this is his word for you. And they read it, and they looked up at me, and, I mean, they were just, that person was, tears were coming in their eyes. You know, and they said, this is just what I need to hear at this point in my life, you know. So, you know, I got to share with that person for a few minutes, and, really strengthen their faith, you know, and God. So I think you need to be open to sharing him with anyone. You know, he wants to share his word with everyone. That's what the gospel message is directed to, really, to people who don't know him. So, you know, I think we need to be ready to embrace them, to love them, and to share his word. That's what God wants. That's this modern culture, you know, to know. You know, I think we have gotten so impersonal. You know, we have mega churches, you know, and there's nothing wrong with a mega church if God plants one and grows one. But I think we have gotten, even in the church, I think we have gotten so impersonal. You know, we don't really, that one-on-one interaction is just not taking place. You know, that's my vision. That's my passion. I mean, I like to touch people one on one, and you know, really get into their life and let them share with me. and personally touch them. And, you know, and sometimes you have to step out of your comfort zone and you have to step out of your boundary lines to do that. And sometimes you're not, you know, I haven't always been comfortable doing that, but I know that if God is leading me to do that, I have to obey. Sometimes, you know, the people you're trying to reach, you know, sometimes it will push them away. But I'm telling you, it's well worth it because you might change one life. You know, I don't think the church can substitute programs or anything that they have and subtract that personal interaction with each other one on one. I think that's where true ministry takes place. You know, you can't depend upon the pastor to minister to everybody. That's what the body of Christ is about, is that we are to take it out into the world and share it one-on-one with people. That's what the message is all about. And that's what we need to get back to. And I mean, it's my passion. I like to touch people one-on-one, not to minister to them.
This is breaking up bad. We're having technical difficulties. I don't know what is going on, but it's like the like you're going in out like really, really bad. What we're gonna do is we're gonna have you back on probably next week. I will let you know what day I'm may be facing surgery again. You know, concerning my eye. So I'm gonna have you back on, John. But mm-hmm. I need to find out what's going on with. I kind of sort of know what's going on with my internet because I've been having a problem with my internet since I believe it was Saturday. I'm having a problem with my internet. We're going now. I want these broadcasts to be clear, and I want people to be able to hear the word of God without interruption. So what we're going to do is get you on again on next week. And we're going to go over this. Just pray, whatever else God gives you. I'm just going to be silent and let the Spirit of God use you and, you know, you minister to the people. But then the technical difficulties will have corrected themselves correctly, and then we could go on from there. So what we're going to do is right now it's 9:30, and we're going to end this broadcast. And I just want to let everybody know that John Pinion is on Facebook. He is a man of God who really hears the Holy Spirit, and he knows the Word of God. So if you feel like you need to talk to John, please contact him on Facebook. And he'll talk. He will talk to you. He will pray with you, and he will give you the Word of God. John, thank you so much for joining us. We're going to end right now because this noise seems to be getting louder, whatever is going on. But we thank God for what was. We thank God for those who did tune in, those who were on the phone line, those who were in the chat room, and those who will be listening on archives, as much as they will be able to hear. We believe that God will use what did come through for those that meant to hear this word. Amen. So,
amen.
God bless you, John. I will look forward to speaking with you on the phone as well as on Facebook. And as soon as we get this scheduled together and I find out what's going on, I will have you on our guest. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. God bless you all. And everybody, good night. Good night. Good night. Good night. God bless you.
Good night.